And after Jacob's dream of the ladder that we studied last week, you might know that he traveled to the land of the people of the east, the scripture says, where he met a young lady whose father's name was Laban, and he loved that young lady and made a deal. He didn't have any goats to give, so he had to work for her hand in marriage, and he served 7 years. What some of you might say 7 long years, but for him, because he loved her so much, it just seemed but a moment. And all the people said, "Aw." And so the wedding night came, and they celebrated their commitment to each other, and he took his new bride into the tent, and when he woke up in the morning, it was the wrong girl. You remember that? And he didn't wake up with Rachel, he woke up with Leah. And he said to the father, "What have you done?" What a surprise. He said, "Well, listen, around here, we don't marry off the younger ones before we marry off the older ones, so you got the oldest one. But hey, if you really want the youngest one too, you can work another 7 years and I'll let you marry her." And so he did. Isn't that a great story? Nobody's impressed with that. The man worked in order to marry this young woman, and he did so altogether for 14 years. That's love. Amen. I mean, the Bible says that he loved her. Like, that's no joke. Amen. If this was just kind of adolescent, childhood, nonsensical lust instead of love, he wouldn't have waited around for 7 years, much less 14 years, right? So 14 years he served. Now, over the course of time, those two girls would also give their handmaidens to Jacob for wives. And all together, those four ladies would bear him eventually 12 sons in total. Now, Jacob served Laban for 14 years for his daughters and another 6 years for his cattle, even though Laban changed his wages 10 different times. And we're going to be reminded tonight, the name Jacob is heel catcher or supplanter, or we might call him a deceiver. So the deceiver gets deceived. And it happens to him over and over and over again. By the way, you reap what you sow. And that's a great biblical truth to remember. But God continued to bless Jacob, even though Laban tried to take advantage of him. And when the time was come to go home, he knew that Laban wasn't going to let him go. So he just gathers up all that he has, his wives and his children and all of his flocks and herds, and he takes off. And you'll remember how Laban caught him on the way, and he was upset with them, but he didn't get too rough with them because God had told Laban, "Listen, you be careful. You be careful how you talk to mine." Amen. And so they make a covenant there, and he goes on his way back home. Now, the reason we want to get to this, in Genesis 32:1, it says Jacob went on his way. Now, we studied this, what we studied last week in the last 7 days is 20 years have elapsed. So just want you to get an idea, like all the time that Jacob spent in the fields, all the time he spent watching over the flocks by night, all the time that he spent in the storms and in the heat and in the cold. And he tells Laban, remember when Laban was mad at him, he's like, "Listen, you weren't charged anything. If something was taken by the beast, I bore that burden." He said, "I worked and I labored." And so these 20 years were years of hard labor for Jacob. They were 20 years of dedication, 20 years of service, 20 years of being a hard-working man. And God had blessed him in that time. But now it's time to go back to his family, and so he's on his way. So earlier, when he's on his way at Bethel, the angels meet him there, and he sees the Lord standing at the top of the ladder, the angels coming and going, and now he's going to be met by the angels of God again. And we want to learn some things about how God blessed him there. So let's pray together, and then we'll get into the scriptures tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Lord, we're so thankful that no matter what is happening in our lives, you are always good. You're always there for us. You always give us the comfort and strength and grace that we need. And Father, I pray that we can learn from your word tonight. Please be with those who aren't able to be with us tonight. Lord, we know some are hurting, some are sick, some are have things going on preventing them from being here. And we just pray that you'll bring healing, that you'll bring health, that you'll bring blessing to their lives. Lord, I pray that you'll change our hearts, that you'll help us to love you and to long for you and to work for you because of your great love for us. Lord, please give us understanding of the scriptures tonight. Help us to clearly see Jesus lifted high in the scriptures tonight. Please help me from nothing without you. I pray you'll bless your word in spite of me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you were to read to the end of the story, you would find that God blessed him there. And in verse 30, Jacob would call the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. The Lord blessed Jacob there. So we're going to learn a little bit tonight about the place where he found blessings. Now, Jacob went on his way back in verse 1. The angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau's brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have journeyed with Laban and stayed there until now." And he goes on to tell him about how God blessed him and God provided for him and all he had. And he sends messengers. Remember, he ran away to go to find his mother's family because Esau wanted to kill him. And now God says it's time to go home. And he's a little apprehensive to see his brother, because last time he saw him, he wanted to kill him. And so he's a little concerned about that. So he sends messengers. And you might remember the messengers come back and they say, "Hey, your brother Esau, he's on his way to meet you. And he's got 400 men with him." So now he's not a little apprehensive. Now he's terrified. And so Jacob, being a wise man, a prudent man, a man of cunning, he divides everything he has into two companies. He sends them all ahead of him, and he sends with many gifts with them, flocks and herds and gifts of all kinds, a great present to give to his brother, and he's going to come at the end. And his hope is that the gifts that he sends ahead will appease his brother, and he won't want to kill him when he meets him. You guys familiar with the story? All right. And so he sends them all ahead, all of those things, a present to his Lord. And you can jump down to verse 20. "And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face, peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." And so he sends all of this on until he is left alone there in that place. And while he is alone in that place, he wrestles with a man. I don't know if most of you have at least read this story, and I don't know about you, but it seems like a really strange story in the scriptures. But this event, brothers and sisters, is another what we've learned are called theophanies or Christophanies. This is a pre-Bethlehem appearance of the Lord himself. This man that he wrestles with, we're going to find, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He meets him there, and the man, so God appears as a man and wrestles with him until the breaking of the day. So it seems like this wrestling match started in the middle of the night, and he is wrestling. Now, a lot of people would try to kind of spiritualize this and say it wasn't a physical encounter. He was just having a bad dream. I mean, some of my kids do that in the middle of the night. They fight wars in their sleep. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, you would think that they were wrestling with bears while they're trying to sleep. And you say, well, that's what was going on. He just had a bad dream. But we're gonna find that there were real physical results from this wrestling match. This was not just a spiritual thing. This was a real event. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, when the man saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So now he's wrestling, and the Lord that's wrestling with him sees that he's not prevailing, like Jacob is giving it all he's got. And so the Lord touches his hip and puts it out of joint. And so just to get some spiritual application from this event, can I just say to you that he's going to find blessing here, and part of the blessing he's going to get is in crippling. God was going to bring him low before he lifted him up. Amen. God would bring him low before he would lift him up. Can I draw your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The apostle says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Then the apostle says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Amen. And most of you in this room tonight or watching online who have been Christians for any length of time at all could testify tonight that in your weakest moments, in the moments of your darkest days, in the hardest times of your life, the times of the most strugglings, those are the times that your strength has grown, your faith has grown the most. Amen. That your faith has grown the most, that you have been strengthened by the Lord the most. Amen. That when you were beat down, the Lord was there to lift you up. Amen. So as he wrestles with God, as he is wrestling with the Lord, the Lord would cripple him, and in the crippling, he would find blessing. But listen to the way the apostle says, listen, I am thankful. I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in my own weaknesses, in my reproaches, in necessities, when I don't have everything I need, when I'm persecuted, when I'm distressed, when things are hard, I take pleasure in that. I get joy in that because I know that in my weakness, Christ is going to show up and be strong. Amen. And what a testimony. Because I just, if we're honest tonight, I think most of us in this room, if we're being real honest with ourselves before God tonight, that's not our attitude. Our attitude isn't when persecution comes, we're not like, man, this is awesome, praise the Lord. Or when weakness comes, or infirmity comes, or trouble comes, or trials come, or distress comes because we're trying to do what's right. We don't rejoice in that. We don't take pleasure in that. Most of us, when things are bad, we just want to get it over with as fast as possible. Amen. That's me. I think if we're honest, that's all of us. Amen. God's going to get me through it, but I just want it to be over. Things are going difficult right now. I know God's going to see me through it, but I just want it to be over. Amen. But Paul had come to a place in his walk with Christ when he was able to give glory to God and actually give thanks to God for the trouble. For the trouble. So remember, God's going to use crippling in your lives. At the end of the story, Jacob is walking along. And he is halt. Look at verse 31 back in our text. As he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He got in a wrestling match with Jesus, and he walked away limping. Seems right to me. He got to walk away, but he was going to walk away limping. I don't know how you guys, your imaginations work, but mine's a little overactive. But I got this picture, right? There's a brook there. Some of that place is pretty arid, so it's probably arid-ish, desert-ish. Colorado's in my mind. I don't know. But this brook is running. He's sent his family over the night before. He stayed behind alone. He wrestles with God all night long. And when he gets up in the morning, the Bible says the sun is rising on him. And as the sun comes up, you've got this man walking with a limp away from his fight with the Lord. It seems pretty epic to me. And it was pretty epic because God said, you're like a prince with God. You have power to prevail with the Lord. Amen. Jacob met God at Bethel on the way, and God really got a hold of his heart. But from this moment on, God was going to get a hold of his life. And listen, Jacob was not a perfect man. Jacob was a mess. But God changed who he was. Amen. And he walks away from this encounter with God changed for the rest of his life and marked because of the change. Amen. So God will bless you, but there may be crippling. God will bless you, number two, in the clinging. Notice that when the Lord was wrestling with him, he wrestled with him, back in our text, verse 24, until the breaking of day. And when he saw he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And verse 26 says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. So the back and forth gets a little confusing, but the Lord says, let go. And Jacob says, I'm not letting go until you give me a blessing. Isn't that awesome? Amen. The Lord already touched his hip. He already put it out of joint. So there he is laying on the ground. I'm really confident. I probably shouldn't be as confident as I am in my imagination, but I'm really confident. But as they're wrestling, that when the Lord touches his hip, he goes down. Amen. Would you? We need a volunteer at the end of service. We're going to try to put somebody's hip out of socket and see if you stay up or if you go down or not. Any volunteers? You'll do it? Okay. All right. You'll put somebody else's out or you want yours? Okay. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm just saying, like, he's got to be down and he's got to be hurting. And he's got to be exhausted. But he's holding on because he needs God to bless him. For one thing, he's terrified. He's terrified for his own life, but not only his own life, but his wives and his children. He says, Lord, I'm afraid Esau's going to come and he's going to kill me and he's going to kill the mothers and the children. He's like, I don't know what Esau's capable of, but I'm terrified and I'm not going to let go until I'm sure of your blessing. Can I just say that we're pretty weak when it comes to clinging on to God? Can I say we're pretty weak when it comes to praying? We're pretty weak when it comes to wrestling with God. I'm just saying, if this encounter, this wrestling match is an analogy of our prayer life, and I think that it is a real event that illustrates our prayer life. If it is, I would say that most of us, the Lord would never have to say, let go. Most of us, the Lord would never have to say, let me go. It's the next day. You got to get up. You got things to do. He would never have to say that. He wouldn't have to say, let go. He'd have to say, hey, wake up. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Now, most of you in this room have had some times in your life when things were really, really bad and you got really, really serious about some things. And some of you have wrestled with God in prayer all night. Amen. But it's a rare event. Amen. Isaiah chapter 64, verses 6 through 9. You're really familiar with verse 6, I'm confident. You guys heard this one before? But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Amen. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You guys know that primarily this is referring to Israel as a nation and their rebellion against God. But can we all admit that this describes us too? This describes the human condition? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags? Okay, check out verse 7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. He says, there's none that calls on your name. There's none that stirs himself up to take hold of thee. Listen, our wickedness and our sin, not only does it separate us from our God, but it keeps us separated because it keeps us from grabbing a hold of God. Amen. And can I just tell you that he has made himself available to us? Amen. That you have access to the very throne of God himself through Christ? And you can grab a hold of the feet of Jesus and you can hold on and plead with him for a blessing? Amen. You can hold on to the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, help me. Lord, bless me. Lord, I need you. Verse 8, there in Isaiah 64 says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Amen. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Yeah, our iniquity separated us from God. And yeah, God looks out at us and he says, none of you are trying to get a hold of me, but he is our Father. Amen. And he does see. And you can come to him. You can grab hold of him. You can hold on to him, cling to him the way that Jacob did. He blessed him in his crippling. He blessed him in his clinging. He blessed him in his confession. Look at verse 27 in our text. Back in Genesis 32, verse 27, he'd already told him, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said unto him, God says to Jacob, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now you might remember that in the Bible, names carry heavy meaning. Amen. Names carry a lot of weight. And the name Jacob literally means heel catcher. Goes all the way back to his birth. You might remember that. It means to be a supplanter. It means to be a trickster or a deceiver. And so when the Lord says, what's your name? I think there's a little deeper than, hey, what's your name? It is, who are you? Amen. I believe that there's confession here. That Jacob is admitting to the Lord, I am a deceiver. Amen. That's who I am. It's hard to admit, isn't it, the wrongs that you've done? You know, we use the good person test here in the gospel a lot, and people have such a hard time admitting things. Like, hey, how many of you have ever told a lie? Yeah, you guys are well trained. What do you call somebody who tells lies? So what are you? You know how many people I've met in outside of these walls who can't say that? Like they the word sticks in their throat. So what I usually say is, well, what would you call me if I told you a lie? Oh, you'd be a liar. Isn't it funny how it's easy to point the finger, but we forget about those other ones pointing right back at us? I'm a deceiver. I'm a trickster. I'm a thief. I deceived my brother. I deceived my father. I stole Esau's birthright. I mean, he was admitting who he was. And that's hard. But I need you to see this. God will change who you are. Amen. He'll change who you are, but he won't do that until you admit who you are. Amen. Verse 28, he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob." Thy name shall be called no more Jacob. That's not who you are anymore. Your name is Israel now. Amen. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Amen. The name Israel literally means one who has power with God. One who has power with God. And God says to Jacob, your name is not Jacob anymore. That's not who you are anymore. Now you're going to be known as Israel because I've made you someone new. I'm giving you a new name because you have power with God and you have prevailed. He prevailed in wrestling with God. He prevailed in not letting go of God. He prevailed in getting a new name from God. And God changed who he was. Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And he blessed him there. You know, God wasn't going to fully reveal himself to Israel at that time. He was going to hold some things back. But I love the fact that Israel was pushing to know him more. I want to know your name. But the Lord wasn't going to give him his name, but he would give him a blessing. Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. And God changed who he was that day. He gave him a blessing, and that blessing came from the Lord himself. Amen. He said, "I have seen God face to face." I've seen Jesus. I've seen God. He didn't know his name was Jesus. But here we are today, and we get to look back. And I don't know that any of us are going to have a wrestling match, a physical wrestling match with Jesus tonight. But we can wrestle with him in prayer. Amen. And we can recognize that when things go wrong and when there's problems in our life, when there are crippling things that happen to us, it's not because God is trying to destroy us. It's actually because he's trying to make us better. That he wants to work all things together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And if you belong to Jesus, you know him, and when things are not good in your life, that doesn't mean he's done with you or he's trying to destroy you, but that he wants you to trust in him in your weakness. Amen. That his strength will be put on display. Amen. He wants you to hold on to him. He wants us to grab hold of him and not let go. He wants us to not be lazy in prayer. He wants us to actually care about the things of God. He actually wants us to be invested and to hold on and not let go. We're so quick to let go. He wants us to confess. He wants us to admit who we are without him, so that he can do the work of making us everything he wants us to be in Christ. Amen. Will you stand with me?